NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Dudes,
welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les.
And we have a guest again this week.
Hello, it's Ale again.
She's back. So a couple weeks ago, I told you I was coming at you with a really fucked up case. This is that case.
Yes.
Also, I'm scared a little because of what you said.
You should be. it's a rough one. It disgusted me when I heard about it, and we have a lot of trigger warnings to go through for this one, so okay. I'm just gonna jump right into that. So there is graphic torture, sexual assault, abuse of a person with a disability, kidnapping, suicide, child abuse, racism, and that's because all of the victims in this case are black women. So, okay. Especially with recent events, I want to give you this space that if this is not the episode for you, please feel free to leave. obviously, it's hard to talk about right now.
Yeah.
But and we should.
But it's important, so here we are.
Yeah. And then I'll have all my sources on this one, because there are quite a few on the blog post at namnab.com.
Yes. In the description.
So, on March 25th, 1987, police surrounded 3520 North Marshall Street in Pennsylvania. It was an unassuming house that in no way could have prepared the police for what they were going to encounter. The neighbors were not surprised when the police arrived. They just knew their neighbor was a creepy guy with emotionless eyes, and they felt that he could snap at any moment. The kitchen walls had pennies glued to them. The hallway upstairs was decorated with $1 and $5 bills.
Oh my god. That makes me, like, nauseous.
She's especially disgusted by bills and change.
Yeah, like, cash really grosses
me.
Oh,
that's fair.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It is gross.
It's so gross.
Well, he had this, like, especially the pennies were glued to walls. He had them, like, stapled to the walls like wallpaper.
Oh, like the fucking leaf man?
Yeah, like leaf man.
Squirrel
guy.
Fucking squirrel. The fact that you, like, audibly gagged, though, was, like,
about to throw up.
She is highly disgusted by change. That has always been a thing. And then we saw Shutter Island, which made it worse.
There was no indication that this was the place a serial rapist and murderer was holding six black women hostage, chained to the ceiling in a pit in his basement, with pots on the stove of human flesh and other body parts stored in the fridge.
What in the house of a thousand corpses did you just fucking say?
Exactly.
Ew.
Yeah, seriously. So,
imagery is coming in strong today, God.
This was the place that would be known as Philadelphia's House of Horrors.
Mm. Four women, you said?
Six.
That's even worse.
Holy shit.
It's
disgusting. To the ceiling?
Yeah, they were chained to the ceiling.
What the fuck?
Jesus. Like, they had enough chain to be on the floor, but they, like, were chained to pipes on the ceiling.
Ew. Ooh.
And there's more. Gary Michael Heidnick was born November 22nd, 1943, to Michael and Ellen Heidnick in Cleveland, Ohio. Michael and Ellen divorced, so Gary and his younger brother, Terry, ended up living with their mother for 4 years before being taken away to live with their father and his new wife.
Gary and Terry.
Yeah.
Gary. That's the only Terry. Lighthearted thing I think we're going to get out of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, let's just take a moment to enjoy Gary and Terry.
Yeah,
that's
Gary.
Gary hilarious. And Terry.
Yeah. It reminds me of Rick and Morty. Fucking Michael and Pyko.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Pyko.
Oh my god, that's great.
Gary claimed that his father would emotionally abuse him, and he had a problem with wetting the bed that would continue throughout his life. His father would use this, of course, to humiliate him, and would hang the soiled sheets in his bedroom window for the neighbors to see, and would lock him outside in urine-stained underwear. So I feel like that's neglect and a little bit more than emotional abuse.
Oh absolutely,
god, that's
yeah.
That's definitely humiliation.
And that's really fucked.
Oh wow. God.
Family would years later also say that Michael was an alcoholic who would physically beat Gary when he wet the bed as well. Michael, however, always denied these claims that he would ever abuse his son when he was questioned later.
Right, that's why he wets the bed as a teenager?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And, like, even his siblings talked about this.
like brought it up that Gary would wet the bed and that the abuse would happen. So it's not just
it's not
Gary.
One story.
It's everyone's fucking. They know it happens in the family.
Right. Everyone saw it.
Yeah.
Can we just say, don't humiliate your kids? It's not
yes.
a fun. It's not a very fucking productive form of punishment
of anything.
Yeah. Gary Heidnik did not interact with other students at school and would refuse to make eye contact with them. He was often bullied for the odd shape of his head, which the family explained was because he had fallen out of a tree when he was young.
It's not fucking yeah. alarming at all.
It's
concerning.
I'm sure. Oh, it's like Stewie, you know, like yeah. jumped on the bed too high.
Exactly.
No, no.
It like fucking.
This is not a cartoon.
Yeah. It fucking comes back to me though that fucking at the very beginning of us doing this podcast, Ed Gein was also bullied and he didn't talk to people because he had a lump on his head.
Weird.
Wait, he fell out of a
tree.
That's Gary's.
Yeah. No. No. Yeah. No. I know.
Head injury.
Is yeah, my right. question?
A student did try to speak to him. Heidnik shouted at them, saying they were, quote, not worthy enough to speak to him. Heidnik okay. tested with an IQ of 148 and enrolled in Staunton Military Academy in Virginia after his father heavily urged him to join at the age of 14. He remained there for 2 years, leaving right before graduation when he went back to public school for a period of time, then dropped out and joined the Army at the age of 17. So Heidnik was in the Army for 13 months and was praised during training as being excellent. But when he applied for specialized positions in the military, so like the military police and things like that, he was declined. He was transferred to San Antonio, Texas to be trained as a medic, where he exceeded expectations and did well with his medical training. He transferred to West Germany, but began to experience bad headaches, nausea, dizziness, and blurred vision. So he visited a neurologist who diagnosed him with gastroenteritis. It's an infection you get from poop.
Oh, okay.
Gross.
Like, yeah.
Ingesting poop or
I
from
don't
your
know.
Poop alone?
It just, oh. like, sometimes people just
poop
get
bacteria.
It. Poop bacteria. This is important. But this neurologist also noted that he showed signs of mental illness. He was put on an antipsychotic medication and was transferred between hospitals and finally diagnosed with schizoid personality disorder. Mm. So, lack of desire to form social relationships, and they are very apathetic.
Yeah.
Weird attachment,
also
detachment
delusions
stuff.
Delusions and hallucinations,
yep.
usually.
And thus was honorably discharged from the military. Hmm. As to not put his training to waste, he became a licensed practical nurse shortly after discharge at a veterans hospital, and was even a psychiatric nurse for a short period of time, but was fired for his poor attendance and rude behavior to patients.
Shocker.
Janae's just like, so enraged, she's just being quiet with her face in her hands,
just
so you guys know.
What the fuck, dude? What? Oh my
God. Yeah. So, the following 25 years, this is including stuff that's going to happen later
okay.
that we're going to talk about, but this is happening under all this, so just to keep that in mind.
Okay.
He would be in and out of psychiatric hospitals and attempted suicide at least 13 times.
Wow.
Whoa.
It was a possibility that depression ran in the family, as his brother Terry also spent time in mental institutions and attempted suicide. And their mother, who had been struggling with alcoholism, was in an abusive relationship and was battling bone cancer, commit suicide in 1970.
Whoa.
Rough.
Wow.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
There is definitely a history.
Yeah. There's some intergenerational pieces going
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, this is happening in the background of all the crime that I'm about to talk about. So.
Okay. Oh, God.
There's shit. Oh, and there's some shit later where I'm going to get into, because I went into interviews with some of the survivors.
Wow.
And okay. they were able to talk about his plan to get away from all this. So he is, remember, he's very intelligent.
Yeah.
So that comes back up later.
Huh. Okay.
So I take everything in this with a little bit of salt. In 1971, Heidnik, now 28, found religion after supposedly hearing the voice of God as he drove, telling him to start a church. And thus he started
There's
the United Church of the Ministers, oh. Ministries of God.
Oh, this is stressing me out.
Yeah. And just so you guys know, if you look this up, there is a church that pops up. It's not his church, so please don't terrorize
leave
them.
Leave them alone. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a different name. Please know that.
That is so funny.
So Heidnik opened a bank account under the church and was able to gain $500,000 in 15 years. Today's dollar, that is $1,166,000.
Wait, wow. Hold up. How? Yeah, what?
Because he, like, opened a bank account. And was
as
that, like,
a church.
As a church. And was that, like, the bank giving them money? Because it's,
that,
like,
I think that was the church. The bank gave him money. Money he got through the church. And also said that he put his own personal finances and he listed them as under the church so he couldn't get taxed.
Of course.
He's a very intelligent person. Yeah. He has a finance person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Later that comes into play.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Terrible, but smart.
The church grew to be wealthy and influential, and Heidnik was hiding his wealth under the church's name to avoid getting taxes on it. Heidnik apparently appointed himself a bishop, invested in Playboy, and owned 3 cars, including a Rolls Royce.
You cannot appoint yourself. I'm sorry.
I'm going to get into that. Hold on.
Out of everything you just said, and as, like, not religious person, I'm just like, you can't appoint yourself as a bishop.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not. I'm not desecrating the church.
However, I have family that have gone to church to be in religious roles. So I'm going to talk about this real quick. Amongst all this bullshit, there is some information from CGP Gray on YouTube that I used. Bishops are Catholic, and I'm not sure if this church was Catholic or Christian. Mm-hmm. So there's that to start off with.
Right.
I am not. Well, and bishops are a rare breed since there are 400,000 Catholic priests in the world, and there's only 5,000 bishops.
Wow. Okay.
So they are substantially harder to work
I like
towards.
Totally missed that part because I was like, how the fuck does this motherfucker get a Rolls Royce?
Yeah.
I did too. I was like, a Rolls Royce.
It was like bold. I was almost distracted with the Playboy part, but yeah. I was like,
yeah, same Playboy.
Yeah,
you can't just be a bishop. Just was like, yeah, I'm a bishop now. I was like, hold on, you can't.
First off,
sir,
yeah,
you're not even
everyone's like,
right,
yes,
religion.
Bishop.
And well, and then to be a bishop, you have to be at least 35 years old. He is 28.
Right.
Okay.
This
you need
is
to be
weird.
On a, quote, secret list of bishops that are waiting for other bishops to die to become a bishop. You need to be a priest for at least 5 years. And you need to have a doctorate in theology.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
You have to have education. Heidnik obviously did not meet any of these
right.
the
man's
requirements.
Like, give me 500,000 of
a bishop.
what?
It's fucking crazy. In 19...
Rolls Royce.
There were
yeah,
so many things.
Man. And I watch chairs
there's
and table.
There's so many things that one sentence just pick apart.
Yeah,
what the fuck? In 1976, Heidnik began his run-ins with the law when he was carrying a pistol without a license and shot at one of his tenants, who used to be an ex-police officer. The bullet had only grazed the tenant's face, and they ended up fighting in the front lawn. When the cops arrived, they originally arrested the tenant, who happened to be a black man in this situation. Neighbors were able to clear up the situation, and Heidnik was taken away to the police station, and he was charged with aggravated assault, and the tenant and his family moved out the next morning. This is an ex-cop. He told the tenant not to come in, because he owned this house. The tenant lived on the second floor of his house.
Okay.
And Gary was like, hey, you can't come into the basement, but I guess the tenant forgot his keys or something and was trying to come in through the basement window, mm-hmm. and Gary shot him in the face when he was coming through the window and only grazed his cheek, but mm-hmm. you know, the cops automatically were like, let's arrest this guy, and the neighbor's like, no, that's the tenant that he shot at,
right? Like, you're arresting the wrong man.
So they arrested both of them anyway. So
that's Jesus good.
yeah
what a fucking mess though.
Yep. So Heidnik now had this home all to himself.
Wow.
Then in 1978, he had signed out the sister of his then girlfriend from the institution she was in for a mental disability, for day leave, but ended up kidnapping her, locking her in his basement. And she was when she was found and returned to the institution, it was discovered that she had been sexually assaulted. So
I have a question.
Yes.
Though, because the race thing is already coming up, and you told us, is there like a root in that? Does
that's
make sense? Like, where is it learned?
Me. I can't find it.
So it's just
I learned. Can't find it.
Okay.
All right. Well,
like,
I mean,
I don't know if it's time period or curious. What, but he like, it really fucking bothers me because I was looking through all of his childhood and I'm like, I can't place where this one thing is these two things are coming from.
Yeah.
Because
white privilege.
Yeah. Literally, it's just the white just supremacy of the system, which, yes, but I was wondering if there was a more direct
right.
like racist.
Is it because he's like
KKK dad?
Yeah, right? Yeah, you know,
or something
maybe,
like
but it's never talked about.
And yeah. I'll tell you through okay. the entire thing. I want to think it's just like a power thing because of the people he preys on
right.
in this.
Yeah,
it's right. all power. Yeah. It's all power.
Is it all? Is it an array of women of color, or is it specifically
it's
black,
black
women?
Specifically black women.
I see. That's interesting.
There is one other instance I'm going to talk about, but all of the crimes that we know of are against black
okay.
women.
Okay, interesting.
Minus his ex-wife, which I'm about to go into. During his hearing, he remained silent because he was supposedly convinced that the, quote, devil had put a cookie in his throat.
What? Wait, what?
So he went on trial for sexually assaulting this
right.
woman.
Yeah.
And then didn't talk. So are you guys ready to be really, really, really mad?
No.
I'm already very mad.
So even though he didn't talk, he was charged with rape and false imprisonment, nice. But his sentence was overturned with an appeal, so he instead spent 3 years in mental institutions and was released April 1983. Neighbors reported that he would often visit institutions and would bring young black women with what appeared to be mental or developmental disabilities to his home, leading me to wonder how many other victims he had. Mm-hmm. After he was released, he began to talk to Betty Disto, who is the next victim.
Great.
Jesus. But
my God.
This is where I'm going to tell you guys, this is where it's going to get hard to continue talking about this case. So if this was already hard for anyone listening, decide now yeah. if you want to dip out. Heidnik used a bride service to find Betty Disto, communicating with her for 2 years before she came from the Philippines in September 1985 to marry him. Things fell apart almost immediately. Betty found Heidnik cheating on her on multiple occasions with three women in their bed, and he forced her to watch while he had sex with other women. Betty also was sexually assaulted by him on multiple occasions during their marriage. Thankfully, with the help of the Filipino community, she was able to leave Heidnik a year later, and he was arrested on charge of sexual assault and spousal rape.
Thank God.
That's thank good. God.
Thank yeah. God. A bridal service is like highlighting that whole...
That power dynamic yeah. real hard? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heidnik was unaware until Betty eventually demanded child support that he had impregnated her and they had a son. Heidnik had two other children with different women before he had even met Betty, however. Whoa. Both had been taken away to foster care quickly. The mother of one of the children was disabled, leading me to ask if this had been consensual, especially yeah. since the mother of this child was the sister of the woman that he had taken from the institution earlier.
Whoa. The yeah. fuck?
The neighbors could tell that she was being abused by Heidnik and had called the police on many occasions, but... there was nothing really that could be done there because the police would come and talk to her.
Right. Not go
and not go further with it. Like, I didn't add this, but like to punish this woman, he owned a boat and would make her sit outside in hot days in this boat as punishment. And they would call the police and the police would come talk to her and like she would go inside.
Well, I mean, she's fucking terrified. So,
yeah. And so he was taking advantage of.
Oh, absolutely.
1,000%.
Yeah. Well, she's like totally alone because she's from the Philippines and she.
Well, and this
is a different woman.
Yeah, this is the girlfriend.
Oh, that's
that
right.
He had before.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I don't have anything on the other girlfriend, I believe. But these crimes, already atrocious and extremely violent, were just the start. The same year Betty fled, Heidnik abducted Josefina Rivera on. November 25th, 1986, at the age of 25. Josefina had just left her home after getting in an argument with her boyfriend and decided to do some sex work to buy Thanksgiving dinner for her family. Heidnik picked her up in his Cadillac, and Josefina noticed that he was wearing an expensive watch, but his clothing was soiled. When they arrived in the rundown neighborhood, there was a Rolls Royce in the driveway, and he proceeded to unlock a series of locks, explaining it was to keep people from getting in. To the point where in an interview she describes a key that he cut in half and he kept the first half jammed in the door so he would have to put the back half of the key in to even open the door, otherwise it locked it in place.
Wow.
So it would make it possible for the police to get in.
Right.
So she thought that was fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
I'm also not okay with that.
Yeah, I'm terrified for her baby right now.
I don't think I didn't notice your emphasis on getting people, or preventing people getting in.
Right. Yeah.
Poor
I hear your, I hear what you're trying to imply.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
After she is getting ready to leave, shortly after she had done her work, Heidnik came up from behind her and choked her until she passed out. He restrained her with handcuffs, then led her to his basement where she woke up, where he was chaining her ankles and connected the chain to the ceiling. He sealed the cuffs with bolts and coated them in super glue so that way she couldn't undo them with her hands. He told her that he planned to kidnap 10 girls, impregnate them, and have a big happy family. From her makeshift cell in the basement, she could see a window and scream for help, but her cries were drowned out by a radio set to play loudly by the window. She would make multiple attempts to escape, but they would all fail.
This is some Ariel Castro bullshit.
Yep. Sandra Lindsay, age 24, was kidnapped on December 23rd, 1986. She had a mental disability and had known Heidnik from his work at the church and the fact he would buy her food. She left her home to go to the store but never returned. When Sandra's family went to the police, they were shot down since the police felt that Sandra was too old to be kidnapped and had likely gone off on her own. Detectives checked with Sandra's friend, Tony Brown, who also had a disability, who gave them Heidnik's phone number. They didn't know at the time it was because he and Heidnik would often have sex with Sandra, who had become pregnant with Heidnik's baby but had an abortion as she was afraid of having a child. This put Heidnik into a rage, and he bribed her with $10,000 to have his baby, but still she refused. Heidnik, of course, told police that Sandra wasn't there, and when police visited the home, he pretended no one was there. He later had Sandra write a Christmas card to her family, telling them that she was okay, and drove out to New York to mail the letter to his, to her family. With the letter, police decided that Sandra had gone missing voluntarily and ceased looking for her.
What the fuck, dude?
So you just show up at a person's house and, you know, you don't even look around. Mm-mm. I mean, you have probable cause.
Yep.
At this point.
And the fucked up part to me is the interviews with the first woman that he kidnapped. She clearly remembers when he brought her down to the basement. Mm. And she was like, from the moment she walked down there, I could tell she had a disability. Like, it was very, very apparent. And her family was like, there's no way she's going to run away. Like, she right. needs us.
Right. Like, she can't wander off on her own. She relies on us for support.
And the police officer was like, well, just because she has a disability doesn't mean that she won't run away.
Oh, the one time you guys aren't fucking oppressive.
Mm-hmm. So that was extremely frustrating to me. And the fact that he was bribing her to have his kids.
Oh, yeah. That's so a whole nother.
There's what is a lot like that was happening even before he kidnapped her. The fact that he was like trying to bribe her to have kids.
What the fuck is that? You know, what is he thinking? Like, I just don't follow his train of thought.
That and this Tony Brown person, he does come up later. He is a black man who is also mentally disabled, mm-hmm. I believe. Or, yeah, you can tell that Gary is also taking advantage of him in a lot of ways. As far as like forcing him into situations. I don't know if Gary ever abuses him directly, but Tony does seem to be there for a lot of this.
Huh.
But it really seems like he's never brought up on charges later, so I think that there's something else going on there.
Yeah.
That we can't.
Well, I mean, it's similar to like Dean Corll, who mm-hmm. had two teenage boys help him kill other boys, and you know, they didn't end up getting charged in the same way because it was brainwashing, it was manipulation, it was you know not the same thing. So
that just brought up in interviews of the fact that she felt like she could trust Gary because he had been, I feel like he's been grooming her for quite some time.
Yeah. Well, look at his position in society.
Yeah. Well, and there's something else I'm going to talk about with that as far as his church, because that comes up later as well. Lisa Thomas, age 19, was kidnapped 20 days later on December 23rd. She was on her way to her friend's house when she was approached by Heidnik, who made sexual propositions to her. He then apologized to her and offered her a ride to her friend's house. Lisa felt safe getting a ride from him since he had apologized so kindly to her and drove an impressive car. He suggested that after she was done at her friend's house that he could take her out to dinner, to which she agreed, and he waited outside her friend's house for her to be done. They went to dinner, and he then suggested that they go on a trip to Atlantic City the following day, which is, I guess, not weird. Lisa argued that she did not have anything to wear for the trip, so he took her shopping and handed her money so she could buy what she wanted. They then returned to his home, where she had a drink and they played a movie. This is where information gets a little confusing, because some people say, like, she passed out because of the mixture of the alcohol and some allergy medication she was taking, and then she woke up to him sexually assaulting her. Mm-hmm. Or that it was consensual, but then it didn't. It turned into non-consent.
Right.
So there's two different stories there. The one she tells is that it was consensual.
Okay.
But I just want to put both sides out there.
That kind of mixture also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So he also chokes her, takes her to the basement, and introduces her to his, quote, two friends, chaining her up with Sandra and Josefina.
And he would keep his victims alive?
Yep. All three of them are down in the basement right now.
Remember, he wants to make a big baby factory.
Impregnate 10 women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And have a big happy family.
Yep.
His words.
What the fuck, dude?
He's fucking crazy. So Deborah Dudley, age 23, was kidnapped January 2nd, 1987, and put up the biggest fight against Heidnik upon her abduction and captivity. Some notes say that she was homeless when Heidnik kidnapped her, which doesn't help with the search.
Right.
Yeah. Because they aren't going to look for homeless individuals. Yes. But there is not much more information I can give you on her, unfortunately.
Man.
In 3 months, Heidnik had abducted 4 black women and were keeping them captive in a pit in his basement where he beat, tortured, and sexually assaulted them. The behavior became increasingly more violent as he forced the women to beat each other and perform sexual acts on each other as he watched, often picking one girl to lead the beatings as he sexually assaulted her. This reached a peak when he beat them until they agreed to crawl on the floor on all fours and eat dog food.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And the survivors later talk about this in interviews, saying that, like, it obviously you wanted to be that girl he picked because it gave you a little bit of a power dynamic and you weren't getting beaten.
Yeah.
So even that caused them to almost turn on each other, and that was his goal, is he didn't want them to work together to get out of this.
You hear that a lot in these captive situations where there are multiple people, that the abuser purposefully turns them against each other so that they can't work together anymore.
Yeah.
Leave. That's a very tactic, like, you know, way of thinking, like strategical. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like in a scary way.
Very scary way.
His immediate go-to is choking, as we've talked about before, is a very, very violent jump as far as assaults. So he's a very violent person from the get-go.
Interesting.
On January 18th, 1987, 18-year-old Jacqueline Askins was abducted and was the youngest of Hedkin's victims. She was a sex worker, and Heidnik picked her up, took her to his home where he sexually assaulted her, placed her in the basement with the others, and tried to chain her up, but the shackles were too big for her small frame, so he used handcuffs on her instead. The following day, he brought Chinese food and champagne down to celebrate Josephine's 26th birthday, as she had become his favorite. And he believed she and Sandra were pregnant with his children. When she...
Did you bring alcohol then?
Yeah.
doesn't make any damn sense.
It's a party.
It's a party.
He's probably like, no, you can't have any.
Yeah, maybe.
Asshole.
And they both, like, agreed. There's no fucking way they were pregnant.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. He was fucking delusional.
Wait.
Oh, absolutely.
So there wasn't a way he hadn't... Wait.
They just knew they weren't pregnant.
Oh, I see. Okay.
When she reflects on the time in the house, and this is Jacqueline that's talking, she clearly remembers that Heidkin wrapped their mouths with duct tape and then proceeded to stab them in the ears with a screwdriver. He did this when he realized that the girls could hear when he would leave the house and would make noise to try and get someone's attention, so his plan was to pierce their eardrums. Each woman was left with varying levels of hearing loss after this.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, like, would turn the screwdriver kind of like
in their ear.
Torture.
Yeah.
So that was fucked up. I had a hard time reading that. Mm. I'm sorry you guys had to hear that.
You're good. Sorry they had to experience it.
Yeah.
Fucking. It's just interesting, like, what he's planning to do in the future. Like, if you can't have mothers for your children, you know, you're willing to hurt them and torture them. I don't see why he keeps them around. Is it, like, was he very abusive to them? Obviously, those acts, but he wasn't, like, nice to them, right?
No, he was just hoping that he would brainwash them enough. He, like, as Jenny said, he wanted a baby factory. It doesn't really matter how he got him.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Mad Max shit.
Yeah. So, Sandra Lindsay was tortured heavily and hung from the ceiling by a single shackle on her wrist and was force-fed. She died from starvation. The torture she endured and a fever 2 months after she was kidnapped. Heidnik took Sandra's body and dismembered her in front of the other girls, as well as making them participate in the dismembering. When he couldn't figure out what to do with one of the arms and legs, he put it in a freezer marked as dog food. He put her ribs in the oven and put her head in a pot on the stove to boil. The neighbors began to notice a foul odor from this and called the police, who arrived to the home to confront Heidnik on the complaint, but he simply explained that it was, quote, he was, quote, cooking a roast, fell asleep, and it had burnt. The police left the premises without doing any additional search, as there was no reason for them to search the house.
Burnt flesh does not smell like a fucking roast.
Thank you.
Not even burnt ass roast smells like burnt flesh, okay?
Yep. Yeah. The police didn't even, he didn't let them into the house, but the thing is, they didn't want to check the house.
Try.
Right. He just, came, I think they said that he came to the door, walked outside and shut the door behind him. So he met them outside his house.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But if and you're cooking a human body, then I don't know, maybe you don't get a fucking option on whether or not I come into your house?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how are these police officers not aware of what I that have smell no fucking like?
I don't understand what they were even doing there in the first place if you're going to just take his word for it.
Right.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Why'd you show up?
There?
Yeah.
Several accounts later would say that Heidnik ground up Sandra's flesh, mixed it with the dog food before feeding it to the other victims.
Oh my God.
Yep.
And he's feeding the victims dog food?
Yep. Every once in a while they would get human food. Jeez. Special occasions. But
how do you expect to
Yeah, if you're,
how are you supposed to have healthy children? Literally, I'm getting hardcore Mad Max, just flashes,
And it annoys me because people try and discredit this by saying, "Oh, we took all the stuff from the kitchen to test it for human meat to see if he did do that,"
right.
And they couldn't find anything. But there's kind of a two ways that could go. Later on, there was this rumor that he was a cannibal, but they think that the defense made that to say that he was going on an insanity plea later on.
Okay, yeah.
So we don't know. But the thing is, the victims very clearly say they were fed human meat.
Right.
All the victims, survivors, will tell you that there was meat in the dog food.
Wow.
So, I don't know who I'd believe there.
I'm gonna believe the survivors. Every fucking time I'm going to believe the survivor.
I think you definitely gave them human meat. Maybe you didn't eat it.
Right. But you fed it to other
people. You definitely fed it to other people.
It is fairly tactful to make the cannibal argument.
Yeah.
That is an intelligent idea.
It's two different arguments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a matter of he ate it or not. It's did he feed these people human meat?
Right.
Yes. All right. Great.
I think that's the distinction they were trying to make. But he never ate it. And I was like,
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Literally doesn't matter.
Yeah. Deborah Dudley, who had already been fighting Heidnik, was taken upstairs, shown the head in the pot, and told that she would end up like Sandra if she did not behave. Heidnik would use electroshock as a form of torture, and on March 19th, he put Deborah Dudley and two other girls who were all bound in chains into a pit filled with water and put an electric current from a stripped power cord to the women's chains. Oh my God. The women were electrocuted, and Deborah Dudley died. He forced Josephina to write a letter saying that she had electrocuted the women so that if he was arrested, she would be found guilty as well. And became a, she now at this point became a significant significant part in Heidnik's plans and crimes.
I mean, you do what you can to keep yourself safe.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
She helped him take Deborah's body out to the Pine Barrens, and Heidnik told her that they would need a replacement for Deborah. She became his companion and went with him on outings to continue to build his trust. And on these, he would tell her if he was ever caught what he would do to pretend he was crazy. That he was smart enough to trick any instruments that they could use on him, and that he had been doing it for years to get disability and fool authorities.
So he's not actually mentally ill?
No.
Probably not.
Great.
Probably not.
Unless that's a form of mental illness in itself, is like being that,
nope. That's just pathological lying.
Ah. Yep. On March 23rd, 1987, Heidnik and Josefina abducted 24-year-old Agnes Adams. Josefina had known Agnes from working in strip clubs together, and Heidnik picked her up in the past for sex work. They took her back to the home, discussed prices, and Josefina waited in the living room as Heidnik assaulted Agnes upstairs.
Wow.
Then they both took her down to the basement, and she convinced Heidnik that now that she was a part of his plans, they had a special bond. The following morning, Josefina convinced Heidnik to let her visit some family and that she would return with another wife for, quote, their collection. He agreed and took her to a gas station where he told her he would be waiting for her. She walked a block away, and then once she was out of sight, she ran.
Yeah.
She called 911, and officers responded, could see chafing on Josefina's ankles from the chains that she had been kept in. Because originally they didn't believe her.
Right.
They saw her and was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it took them seeing the chafing to believe that she was actually held captive.
My God, you guys could not be handed evidence and being like, use this. And they're like, no.
Yep.
I'd rather make it harder.
You're a liar, though.
So luckily, they went to the gas station and arrested Heidnik immediately.
Good.
Because they found the car she was describing. They found the man. They're like, oh, fuck, this is real.
Right.
Like,
Oh, yeah.
He was definitely not that. What the fuck was that?
He said he was going to be there waiting for her.
Yep.
And she tricked him. Yeah. She did the same thing he did, just back.
Yep. The following day, Josefina went with police back to the home. The front door was broken down, and she led them to the basement where the girls were held hostage. The women screamed in fear until the police were able to calm them down and reassure them that they were here to help them, and they were all taken to an ambulance to receive medical attention. After his arrest in April, Heidnik attempted to hang himself in a cell, but thankfully was not successful. At Heidnik's arraignment, he claimed that the women in the basement had already been there when he moved in.
What?
Yep.
So I just came with the house to keep them, is the thing.
So then, you just start taking care of them as they are.
You don't call the police.
Yeah. Like,
oh, this is weird.
Funny. Don't tell me that stood a bit in court.
Oh, hold on. Hold on.
Oh, no.
During the trials, his lawyer pushed that Heidnik was legally insane. Neighbors who had known Heidnik almost couldn't recognize him on TV. He normally kept his facial hair carefully groomed and his hair short, but now, since the defense were trying to make him look crazy and claimed that they claimed that they were purposely trying to make him look like Charles Manson.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was about to say
like,
they were
he
like
grew his beard out. His hair was fucking crazy. They purposely changed his appearance to make him look crazy.
Yes.
And if you look at pictures, it's true. They really did.
Oh my
God. You see
God,
a very put together man be arrested, and you see a crazy man come out.
I know, they like it's pull a whole fashion makeover. It's like, which one of our normal killers do they look the most alike?
Yeah.
And then they do a whole fashion makeover.
That's like for a defense, like that's so incredibly cheap.
You want to hear some shit about this defense lawyer?
Oh,
because
yeah.
He makes me fucking pissed.
He
definitely did
weak
this
to
shit.
Pull the Manson is weak.
Yeah. Hold on. So the defense lawyer, his name is Chuck Peruto.
Okay.
Chuck. Later would reportedly smile when asked why they tried to make him crazy looking. And he just said, quote, isn't it wonderful? If you want to demonstrate that someone is insane, they gotta fucking look insane. During the trial, he looked like a total whack job. Did I do that? Yes. But doesn't women organize against rape dress up their victims?
I'm sorry.
What?
This is a direct quote that I pulled from the fucking trials. This is a direct fucking quote. He said that he dressed up that man and then he fucking made that comment? Are you fucking kidding me? And they didn't do anything! They didn't do anything!
They agree.
Yeah, that's the thing. They agree. That's the problem. Wow, I don't think I've ever been this angry on this podcast before.
I knew that that was going to get you. I knew that was going to get
I'm
you.
I'm sorry. You dress him up, blah, blah. It's not a fucking act, motherfucker. This is an act. What is this?
No,
and since you know all this shit about sexual assault, let's talk about how many times this man sexually assaulted all these fucking women. Let's talk about that.
No, right. And I guess this just speaks to the fucking jury, too. It's like, look how easy and stupidly fooled people think you are. And it turns out to be true.
Like, aren't you offended?
Can you please build your own morals?
Well, my whole thing is it's like, no. You don't, like, he's like, you have to look crazy to be crazy, right?
Which
no,
is offensive
this
in
was
itself.
Like the age of Ted Bundy. This was the age when we were realizing that your next door fucking neighbor, your average fucking Joe, is a fucking psychopath.
They didn't accept that, Allie. People will to this day tell you that that was actually
Ted Bundy
didn't
not do it.
True. No, people, the looks are everything for people. People are that stupid. There's nothing underneath the surface, is there? Yeah.
That made me boil.
I'm fucking mad.
I've never
seen
you rip her head.
That guy
suck
can
it.
Go fuck himself. The prosecutors were able to rebuttal this by showing that he had earned about $550,000 in his brokerage accounts, and his financial advisor proved Heidnik's competence and that he was, quote, or that he, quote, knew exactly what he was doing.
Because the finance advisor wants his money. He's like, yes, he knows what he's doing. Give me 100,000 of that 500,000.
Well, and, like, how can you manage finances to that extent, though, if you, like, can't even tell the difference between right and wrong, quote, unquote, when you're pleading the insanity defense?
Exactly.
I cannot even believe
he wouldn't be that
functional.
It doesn't make sense.
If I were a judge, I'd be like, look, everyone, shut the fuck up. We're not talking about this. Change the argument.
You're banging the gavel. Shut the fuck up.
That's bullshit. Shut the fuck up. Everyone shut the fuck up.
So also while Heidnik was in jail, the church that he founded was still having services. And I want you to know the services were in Heidnik's home.
What?
In his living room.
Oh, that's
right above
weirdo.
The basement.
Oh my god, this guy is brilliant. He's like, my roof needs renovations. Let's write it off for the church.
Oh my god.
No
church
one heard
was
them?
Happening.
No one
well,
heard these.
I
no.
forgot that
screaming.
This was
no.
the bishop for some reason. I forgot that this was the same man that we were talking about earlier. This
very
is the same episode.
Professional.
Like,
he's a professional criminal.
No one heard those girls,
like,
by the way.
Honestly,
no one reported.
Out of the
girls.
People we've covered, this guy
I
has
don't
to be
find that
up
possible.
There
he's up there.
I wonder
like, he's
if,
up
like,
there intellectually.
Could you just imagine them like,
what
did
you hear
that?
Noise? I want to get more into this real quick. So this was, of course, the same place he held his victims, just a floor flows below where he did his services. There is a debate if the church knew what was going on or if they had a part in it. But the neighbors noticed that many who attended the church were individuals with mental disabilities as well and were likely victims of Heidnik's manipulation.
That's even worse. That's 100 times worse than anything I could have ever wanted. Mm-hmm. And I want out of this simulation.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there is something I found where it was a neighbor talking about he or she heard banging on the walls once and thought it was Gary being a piece of shit because that's something he did, and she didn't realize it was the captives banging on the wall asking for help. So she banged back once to be like, hey,
stop.
And the girls thought it was him telling them to shut up.
So they stopped.
So they could have been saved earlier, but they didn't know. The neighbor thought it was Gary. The girls thought it was Gary.
Holy crap, you guys. This is just
heart-wrenching. That's
how close were his if they were walls apart, was this an apartment or
no,
was this
tenants.
A house? Oh, tenants.
This
oh
is
I see
kind of like a townhome situation.
Oh, I see. Whoa,
yeah,
scary. That's terrifying.
It's just like a duplex kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. So Heidnik was charged with 2 counts of first degree murder on July 1st, 1988 and was sentenced to death. The following year, Heidnik would again try to commit suicide by overdosing on his prescription antipsychotic medication, but failed. He was executed on July 6, 1999 by lethal injection and currently
too
is the last person to be executed in Pennsylvania.
Hmm. Whoa.
That's why I recognized the name.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, in pop culture, Gary Heidnik is cited as being another inspiration for the character Buffalo Bill in The Silence of the Lambs.
Mm. Yes, okay.
In 2012, the movie The Factory is based on Heidnik, and in 2018, the band Skinned released a song titled Gary Heidnik featuring Jonathan Davis from Korn that detailed some of the crimes. That was actually how I came across this case in the first place, because Spotify.
Interesting. Yeah, you showed us that video earlier too.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I wish I was actually paying attention to that. I remember you said Jonathan Davis, and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I thought that was him. I just didn't want to say anything and look like an idiot.
No, it was totally
I found the song first, and I was just like, oh, this is weird. And it was actually because Tyler and I couldn't figure out if they had somehow messed up the name of the singer in place of the title. And because I had never heard of this case before, and we looked it up, and we're like, oh shit, the lyrics of the song are literally talking about the murders.
Wow.
Like, if you go and listen to it, it's a good song. Yeah. I like it.
These crimes
But it's fucked. The video does show some torture scenes as instills. But it's very interesting, and it's all based on his murders very, very clearly. And I would recommend it if you just want to compare it to what you just heard, because, God, a lot of things made sense as I did more research.
Like, out of context, the song was good. Now I'm going to go back and listen to it. Probably cry, but...
Oh, wait, it's fucked.
Well, as for, like, the crimes that you're mentioning today, like, a total of, like, what was it, 10 victims that, and then two of them died, or was it 8?
So it was 6... and two of them died.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at the end of it, there were four.
One died from electrocution, and the other one died from starvation and torture.
Yeah.
So it's fucked.
Sandra and Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, but...
And if you... I believe that the main woman, Josephina, she... Like, she was seen as, like, the... His second hand for a while because she was trying to get close to him, to the point where the other girls didn't believe her. And then during the trials, people tried to frame her and say that she was also part of it, which is fucked. And she had to go through so much fucking therapy, like, so much kudos to her that she went through so much therapy after this to try and get her life back on track. And apparently she's very happy now.
Well, good.
She's doing much better, and I think she does advocacy work.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, she works. She does support.
I couldn't even fucking fathom. Like, not only did she have to, like, you know, succumb to her abuser and, you know, like, get on his good side and, you know, maybe she would, do some horrible things.
He would only invite her to come up to the main house and, like, live with him and cook for him and sleep in the same bed with him. So, like, after all that, he unchained her, would, like, allow her to come upstairs and eat regular meals with him. And it was so way she could get out. And, like, she remembers him taking her out places and going to, like, diners and restaurants and talking about his crimes and his life to her, to the point where he, like, acted like she was his wife.
Yeah, like...
And I can only imagine the frustration and rage she felt. It's so relieving
to hear. Yeah, it's so relieving to hear that she didn't end up, like, getting, like, Stockholm syndrome and like caving and, you know, ending up doing some bad shit and, like,
like, she really wanted to get out, knowing that she needed to get out and do something to save those girls, because she says that like, she could have left a lot sooner and fled. But she knew if she did, it would cost the life of the other girls in the basement. So she wanted to do it in a way where she could save as many people as possible.
What a fucking hero.
Yeah, what a badass.
So people tried to be like, oh, because she stayed with him, that means that she helped. She's like, no, I just knew if I left, they were fucking dead.
I want to, like, tell this story from, like, her perspective. Yeah.
There's a lot of interviews with her. I would highly recommend you guys look her up. She even had kids at this time. When she was kidnapped, she had two kids that were not with her. So she was a mother. She's a grandmother now. She's a really amazing woman if you look her up. But I would recommend listening to any interviews with her.
Yeah.
Because she is great.
Wow.
Wow.
Damn, dude.
Yep. Fuck it up.
Always undertones of racism.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Always.
And police and justice.
And police and justice.
Welcome to our podcast. It's literally all it's about. All
right.
Yes. Sweet. Come back next week. If you haven't already, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast.
5-star review.
If you want to see some pictures from this case, nothing too terribly graphic.
No.
Check out our Instagram, Not a Boogeyman.
Yeah.
And if you have case ideas for us, go comment on those pictures or send us an email at notamonsternotaboogeyman@gmail.com. And we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.